Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
God, as we open your word this morning, help us to see things maybe we've never seen before, things that we've glossed over, things that we've ignored or neglected, or just decided not to put into practice. And may the truth of your word penetrate our hearts and radically change us to be more like you and to be more faithful, obedient followers of Jesus, passionate about the things of God. In your name we pray. Amen. Monthano. Greek word that I'm trying to teach you. Last week I introduced this Greek word to you. What does manthano mean? Learn, to gain in knowledge, to grow in your understanding. Manthano, learn. We send our kids to school to learn, right? We want them to learn something. By the way, why do math books always look so sad? Because they're full of problems. Come on. You like that joke. Learn. Manthano. Let me briefly just tell you how this sermon series came about and why this Greek word, in my estimation, is so very, very important. As most of you know, I teach Bible classes and theology for Nazarene Bible College. One of the classes I teach is interpreting Scripture. In that class and in a couple of other classes, one of the things I have the students do is share with us passages in the Bible that are difficult for them to understand. Anyone who reads the Bible is going to find something and go, huh? What does that mean? The Bible is a complex book. It's an ancient collection of books. There's just a lot to learn and take in. And there are some troubling passages that need proper interpretation. Because we all know the danger of what can happen when you interpret the Scripture wrongly. A lot of damage can be done. Inevitably, one of the passages that always comes up that is troubling for students is this one in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 before we get into our Matthew passage, because this is important. And I want to show you something. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This particular verse comes up all the time. And it needs to be properly understood and interpreted. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to a young man, a young preacher, a young minister named Timothy. And he says, in 2 Timothy 2:12, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. Yikes. Yeah. That comes up all the time. By the way, guys, if you're in a fight with your wife and things are getting heated and you're both yelling back and forth at each other, do not throw these words back in her face. Things will not go well for you. What in the world is Paul saying here? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. Wow, sounds pretty oppressive, right? Well, in biblical interpretation, you have to take everything in context. Context is key. And what most people miss, I would say 95% of people miss, is the truth found in the verse right above that in verse 11. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. It is so obvious that we miss it. What are we missing here? Let me read it to you again. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. It's right there in front of our faces. What are we missing? Learn. Manthano. Greek word, manthano. Think about how revolutionary these words were in the first century. Back then, women were not to learn anything. They were not to have access to education. They had no place in society. Women were thought to be on the same par as animals. And think about what the Apostle Paul is doing here. It's absolutely revolutionary. He's going against the culture. He's going against how women had been subjected. And he's saying, wait a minute. Women should learn. They have the right to learn. We need to allow women the same opportunities as men to learn. And if you think this is just a first century issue, even today there are parts in the world, the Middle East for example, where women still cannot learn. The whole deal with Afghanistan and the Taliban, they want to keep women from learning and going to school. Now, the U.S. and allied occupation there the last 20 years had really changed a lot of that, and women were being educated, and women were going to school, and women's rights were really going in the right direction. We fear that some of that will be taken away now that the Taliban is back in power. But Paul is speaking these absolutely incredibly revolutionary words in the first century. He's saying, wait a minute, women should learn. And so the context of this whole chapter is worship. And he's saying, at that point, women should be silent because they hadn't been given the opportunity to learn. But now that we can begin teaching women, they will be educated and know the truth of the gospel and then go on and teach. It's powerful stuff. The Church of the Nazarene, from our very beginning, has always felt that a woman, a learned woman, just like a learned man, has the authority to preach and teach just like any other man. And so we take the education of our clergy very, very seriously, both men and women. Now, if someone is not educated, including a man, they should be silent because they don't know what they're talking about. And so when I help my students understand this truth, it begins to click. It's right here in front of our faces. Manthano. Even women should learn. And so Christianity has been on the side of promoting and elevating women from the very inception. And I say thanks be to God for that. And so this word, manthano, is very, very important. And then I got to thinking, well, where else is this word found? And three times in the Gospel of Matthew, we see the same Greek word, manthano. And so last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 9. Where Jesus says, go and learn, manthano, what this means. Today, we want to look at the second time that this Greek word is used, manthano. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. This is the second instance where this word is used and where Jesus himself uses the word, manthano. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn, manthano, from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Learn from me, Jesus says. Manthano, learn from me. Who are you learning from? What is Jesus teaching you? What is the Father teaching you? You see, God is a teaching God. He wants to reveal more and more of himself to those who will learn. Look at verse 25 of Matthew 11. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Now, this word learned here in verse 25 is not manthano. It's the Greek word phanitos. And it means these are the people who already have understanding. These are the people who are intelligent. These are the people who know it all and have no room or desire to learn any further. Really, this is an indictment on the Pharisees. Last week, we saw how Jesus was very harsh with the Pharisees. This is another indictment on the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew it all. They were already learned. Phanitos. They knew it all. They had no capacity to want to learn any further. And Jesus is saying, well, if their hearts and minds are not open to the things of God, God the Father is not going to teach them new things. But what God will do is reveal things to those who are like little children. Little children who want to learn and grow. They're curious. They look at the world and they're fascinated by this amazing world, and they are open to learning and understanding. And as we are like little children, God reveals more to us. Our God is a teaching God. So, what is God teaching you? What is Jesus teaching you? One of the questions I ask you as pastor almost every week are those exact questions. What is God teaching you? What are you learning from Jesus? Jesus said, learn from me. It's a reminder to us that on this journey, this Christian journey that we're on, God the Father wants to reveal the hidden things of his kingdom to us. And so we must continually be in this posture of teachability. Lord, teach me. I don't know it all. I have much to learn. Friday night, Renee and I were at Micah's football game. Boy, you want to do a sociological study on the lives of adolescents, go to a Friday night high school football game. Oh my goodness, what a study in youth culture. And in between the plays or when Micah wasn't on the field, I'm just looking at all these kids and overhearing conversations left and right, and you know what this kid is saying to this kid, and I'm scratching my head going, man, what are these kids, you know, talking about, and what are they, you know, learning and processing? It was quite fascinating. But equally as fascinating were the parents in the stands, you know. It's just, you know, the whole Friday night light ritual is a cultural phenomenon in our country, and it really has become the gathering place for the secular community. And Micah did well in his very first varsity football game. I think he was a little nervous before the game, probably not as nervous as his old man was. But let me tell you, probably the moment that I was most proud of Micah during the Friday night game, and it might surprise you. It wasn't the amazing tackles, because he's a great tackle. And it wasn't the way he blocked, you know, he's on the line and he's a great lineman. And it wasn't the way he shoved that one kid down. This is a big kid, you know, shoved him down. All that was fun. But let me tell you probably the proudest moment for me. I happened to look, and one of the coaches was talking to Micah on the sideline. And the coach was talking about this and talking about that and, you know, all the X's and O's and the things that they're talking about. And I watched Micah's head, because I know him very well. And he was listening. He was nodding his head, affirming to the coach that, yes, I'm getting what you're saying. One of the things, because I've talked to some of Micah's coaches, one of the things, perhaps the greatest thing they love most about Micah on the football field is not so much that he's big and strong and imposing and good-looking like his old man, but they've told his mother and I that they love the fact that he is teachable. He's coachable. You see, you can have a great athlete on the field, but if that athlete is not coachable or teachable, it throws off the rhythm of the whole game. And I think that's one of the things that makes Micah such a really good football player, is that he is teachable. He's coachable. He wants to learn. Watching that coach interact with my son and seeing that my son was receiving that so that he could become a better player, that was probably the proudest moment of the night for me. Then after the game, I walked back to the car, and Joanne would have been so proud of me because I picked up 5 bottles and cans that were on the field, you know. 3 Gatorade bottles, a water bottle, and a Mountain Dew can. And that's one of the things I learned from Joanne. Because when I first met Joanne 19 and a half years ago, I wasn't big on recycling. I wasn't the world's biggest environmentalist, you know. I'm ashamed to say that now. But one of the things she taught me was the value in picking up a bottle or a can that you see lying on the street. And it does a couple of things. First, it beautifies the community when you pick it up off the ground. And then you can recycle it, and that helps the environment. And then you've got some money to play with. Joanne would have been so proud of me. But that's one of the things I learned from her. And I'm grateful for Joanne's influence in my life. Who are you learning from? And what is God teaching you? Because the way of the Pharisees that Jesus was so opposed to led to weariness and heaviness. You see, the Pharisees, who knew it all, had no room in their hearts and in their minds and in their lives for Monfano, because they knew it all, were insistent on obeying the Old Testament law of Moses, the Torah, and all the other Pharisaic laws that they had built up over the centuries, 613 to be exact. And it was the Pharisees' intent to teach to the people that in order to be right with God, in order to be in good standing with God, you had to be as us and live out all 613 laws to a T. Well, what is that going to do to a person? It's going to make you feel guilty and weary, and you're going to feel like you never add up to God, you could never be good enough. And Jesus comes along the scene and revolutionizes this whole religious system that the Pharisees had perfected. And he says these amazing words, "Learn from me." Learn from me. Last week it was, go and learn the heart of God, which was what? Mercy. This week it's learn from God incarnate, God in the flesh, standing directly in front of you. Learn from me. For my nature, Jesus says, is one of gentleness and humility. And when you learn from me, you will learn that God accepts you, God loves you, God cares for you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love how Eugene Peterson, in his Message paraphrase translation of the Bible, translates these verses. And I want to read to you from Eugene Peterson's The Message. Listen to this, beginning at verse 25 of Matthew 11. Jesus abruptly broke into prayer. "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, and nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that phrase. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I love that paraphrase and that translation. I really think the key to this message here that Jesus is speaking is found in Matthew 11:6. I think this is the key. Matthew 11:6. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. In other words, blessed is the one who doesn't make religion and a relationship with God the Father more difficult than it should be. Because what we tend to do is put up stumbling blocks for people. Oh, you've got to learn this, or you've got to take our church membership class, or you've got to learn all the doctrines, or you've got to learn all the articles of faith. And maybe that's one of the reasons why people don't want anything to do with God, because of all the road bumps that we have put along the way. And Jesus says, wait a minute, in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 11, blessed is the man who does not fall away or is a stumbling block on the road to the Father. Yesterday was a beautiful day. I'm trying to get as many things done at home and around the church while the weather is still nice before the rainy season comes, and we need the rain. Yes, we do. So I was here at the church. I saw that some blackberry bushes needed to be trimmed and our thorn bush needed to be cut a little bit. I love how most of you, not all of you, but most of you, when you're here at the church and you see something that needs to be done, you just do it. That's one of the things I loved about Joanne. She saw something that needed to be done, she did it. Many of you are like that. Can't tell you how many times Connie has cut back blackberry bushes or the thorn bush, or Kay is picking up someone's mess or whatever. Well, I was here and I said, you know, some of these blackberry bushes need to be cut back. Now I love blackberries. I mean, who doesn't like a good blackberry? Give a bunch of blackberries to Alan, man, he's going to make excellent jam with that. But we all know that blackberry bushes can really cut up your hand. They are disastrous. And let me tell you, the greatest $8 I've ever spent. I went to Lowe's a couple years ago, paid $8 for this pair of gloves. And when I put these on, you know what I can do with this glove? I can pick up this blackberry weed and it does not hurt me. It's never once hurt me. I put on both of these gloves and I can yank these weeds out of the ground. They don't hurt me one bit. Now, there have been times when I didn't have my gloves on, and yeah. These gloves have saved me so much on bandages and hydrogen peroxide. And I give you this illustration to show you that the way of Jesus is like this glove. When we put on this glove, these blackberries are not a burden to me any longer. this glove actually makes landscaping for me fun. I like it. I like going out and just yanking these blackberry bushes out because I get the job done and it's fun. And Jesus is saying, come to me, learn from me, manthano. Because I'm not going to burden you with what man has done with religion. I will actually free you up, protect you, and give you the rest and joy and peace that you need. Learn from me, manthano. All of you who are weary and heavy laden and you're tired of getting bruised by the blackberry bushes of the world, you're tired of getting cut up and caught up in the ways of the world that just leads to a weariness and a heaviness, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and tired and worn out and just want to throw in the towel and call it quits. Come to me. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Father, there may be someone here today and they're pretty disillusioned about life right now, or even religion, culture, church, the Bible, what we've done with the Bible, what we've done with the church, the roadblocks that we've put up. There's a lot of weariness in our culture today. There's a lot of heavy laden, heavy-hearted people in our community today. And we don't know who to listen to anymore. And we don't know who we can trust and who we can learn from, because we've all listened and learned from the wrong people and have gotten burned. And it's worn us out. And I want to remind the church today that Jesus came in the midst of a highly religiously regulated culture that had their lists of do's and don'ts, and mostly don'ts. And it was a roadblock to getting to know the heart of the Father. And Jesus says, manthano, learn from me.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.